We do something annually in September, and then they ratify that, you know, we brainstorm, we come up with ideas, give me a chance to do a little more research. We typically do it in September, and then they ratify whatever we decided in December or November, actually. Sorry, November. So September is kind of the dream big. November, we finalize everything.
How many other people do an annual? Here's another question is how engaged are people's boards at this moment with everything from a workforce standpoint and just everybody being swamped, and how much maybe in an engagement side pre-pandemic to where you're at right now, and are boards open to still doing the day-long retreat, or are they more like, just take it, we'll look at it, we'll vote on it, you're good.
We keep ours to under 3 hours one evening. I don't think I could retain them for longer. However, I manage several boards, and I will say that they are more engaged than some of the other entities. My other boards are pretty much tapped out for summer.
Yeah.
We do an annual sort of a 2-hour mini retreat every fall to look at, you know, our strategy. Generally, we don't change much from that, but just to review our audiences and to see if we want to add any new niches and agree on what we're going to allocate for budget. And then from there, it comes back to me to kind of tweak anything, and we don't reinvent the wheel every year. But that's usually a 2-hour meeting over lunch, and we do that for 4 years in a row. And then every fifth year, we do a deeper dive that's about a half day, and we bring in a facilitator for that. And my board is not very engaged.
Patty,
they're very supportive, though.
Well, that's where we're at right now. The board is really supportive. We did our strategic planning last year, and it's a 3-year plan that's facilitated, which if anybody's ever looking for a facilitator, Bob Harris, and I can get you his information. He does a lot of associations, chambers, nonprofits, things like that. A terrific facilitator option. He's a little more on the expensive side, but it's worth it. He'll do so much research in advance that he can take a full day board retreat and he can get it done in a half day because he has so much already in place by the time he comes into your community. So if anybody's ever interested, just let me know. I'll get that information out to you. Pat said that she does an annual retreat in November, and it's a 6-hour. How is that?
That actually, the 6-hour we started last year, it used to be 4 hours. And there are years when we bring in a facilitator and other years that our board chair just facilitates. It actually is really good. I think if nothing else, it's a time for everyone to bring up questions and, you know, do the pat on the back. And we include staff in portions of it too. So again, you know, depending on the year, we talk about goals and objectives, and some years for a real longer term strategic plan. My board, I have to say, I'm so grateful, is very engaged, or most of them, I shouldn't say they're all. We had quite a few people who had to leave at end of last year unexpectedly due to job changes. So this year we have quite a few new people, and we're actually debating now as to whether to fill all the seats again. The last year we've always had 11 people, and we added to 13. And this year we want to make sure that we're not taking on too much by having too many new people. So we have a lot of meetings. It's really crazy. I mean, in any given month, it's the board meeting, executive team. We have a partnership committee, marketing committee, advocacy committee. It gets to be a bit much, and I worried that we were sort of getting expecting too much time from our board. So just a few months ago, we made a change to do it, move it to every other month, And then the in-between months, I bring in a speaker. So.
Thanks, Pat. Linda, you have your hand up?
Sorry, I had to step away for a minute, so hopefully I'm not being redundant. We start our board retreat process with a survey to our board members where we ask what they want to talk about. So gauging on level of importance, it could be renewal of our 1% lodging tax, short-term rentals, how the lodging tax is reported. These were all things that we had on our last survey. The single director model, which now, you know, being the director of both the chamber. So we define that. We meet for a full day and we have incredible engagement from our board of directors. What comes out of that survey is really defining the top three. We pull three top categories. We meet offsite. We were able to meet in person this year. We had two people that Zoomed in, but every board member was present. The staff also has a time to report. So we have a marketing report in there. We have an administrative report and a finance report within that day. The goal of the day is to come up with our strategic goals and priorities for the following year. Some are more long-term, but that's our measurement for all kinds of things, including like whether we receive bonuses on our achievement of the strategic goals and priorities. So we as a staff then every month review where we are at in achieving the specific goals and priorities that are set from us by the board. And then just in light of what Pat just said, we also have a lot of meetings because we have the three tourism associations, and now with adding the chamber and, you know, doubling the chamber board and the executive committee, it's a lot. But that said, we meet as a board 9 times a year. And on the opposite months of the board, we meet as an executive committee. So not overdoing it, but lean heavily on the executive committee and their recommendations in the months that the full board doesn't meet. And that's also very strategically planned. The executive committee would meet in the specific months where we're considering any kind of cost of living raises and personnel issues. So it's set out pretty clearly. We have a schedule that indicates what the main topic is throughout the year. And then it culminates with a full board retreat. And that occurs in December of every year.
So you have three board, did you say?
I have three tourism associations that meet 3 to 4 times a year. Very involved in the allocation of the 1% lodging tax, which is our events and programming. Then I have the board of directors for Visit Cook County and an executive team there and a finance committee there. And then now I have the chamber and an executive team within that. So like the month of June, I had five board meetings and an executive committee meeting.
I'm not going to complain anymore. I have an exec committee after this, and then I have a board meeting Wednesday, but it's one board for Main Street Chamber and CVB. I'm not going to complain anymore.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I'm working on it. I'm only 6 months into this model. So, and yay winning, just hired an amazing administrative assistant. So I'm really happy with that. And I couldn't be more happy. So I'm feeling a lot better about chasing the squirrels around the Visit Cook County Chamber Camp. So
that one isn't quite as intense as Linda's, but we have a Chamber Board, Main Street Board, and Tourism Commission. And then we also have the, we now house our Industrial Corps, which has its own board. So not quite as extensive, but Nort handles the Industrial Corps Board and the Chamber Board. I handle Main Street and Tourism Board. So we each have two that we facilitate. So not as chaotic as Linda's, but not as streamlined as them.
Do they all have authority? And by that I mean, or does it all, is it just committees that make recommendations to the board of directors? Or is it, so are they?
Our chamber board, I report to them annually. I give one report, but they have no authority over the tourism initiatives. The Tourism Commission solely does. Main Street, it's more than a committee, less than a full board. The board has always respected that it's not officially its own separate entity. It operates as such, and they respect the decisions of the Main Street Board. However, if there was a disagreement, then the chamber board could pull rank technically. So they give us a lot of autonomy, but at the end of the day, structure is that the chamber board would supersede the Main Street board.
That's similar. Our steering committee for the Main Street and then our tourism committee, they have no, they're in more of an advisory role. Everything goes through the board of directors. All right. Anyone else? I think we kind of ran through. Oh, Mary, you have a question or comment?
Well, I just wanted to say I put a wall of text in the chat. So mine is similar to Fergus Falls. The only thing that I wanted to add is that I do kind of survey my board members to find out what their areas of interest or expertise are in and see if we can kind of align on the committees or the activities that we're doing so that it's more meaningful for both of us. And that's been helpful. So some are better at finances and some are more interested in marketing. Some are better, you know, geared for partnerships. And that's been really effective.
Great, thanks, Mary. And Linda also is dropping in some comments on typical or her board agenda and different things in there. So make sure to check those out. Any other things on board retreats or board structure or any of that?
I think this might be a little bit more unusual because everything I feel like we do up here is unusual. We have, because of the three tourism associations, the composition of our board is created from the positions out of the tourism association. So representation out of the tourism associations are board members. With that, the board leadership rotates between the tourism associations. They have the ability to pass. So for instance, the Gunflint Trail has the ability to assume the vice chair role, move into the chair role, and then you go to the next association, Grand Marais, and they can assume the vice chair role, move into the chair role. They can say at any moment in time, yeah, pass, don't really want to do that. We also include within our board of directors representation from Grand Portage. Although they don't collect lodging tax, you know, they're significant to the tourism voice of our area and also our economics. And then we also have Lutzen Mountains, which is a huge economic driver for our area. And they have two seats on the board as well.
Thanks, Linda. Anyone else on board retreats or board structure? Otherwise we can get going into strategic planning, which we discussed a little bit already, but anyone? All right, let's get into strategic plans. I assume most have a strategic plan in place, but how many years do you lay out the strategic plan? 3 years, 5 years?
Ours is every year and it changes, but we also define within our strategic goals and priorities the elements that are ongoing. So making sure that you measure if you have, you know, I can't think of anything right now. Here's a good one. Establish financial and organizational accountability for Superior National Golf and Visit Cook County, which we, that's one of the 27 special legislative pieces and parts that is supported by our lodging tax. So that's an ongoing piece, but it's also something that we don't want to lose track of. So it's measured annually, but it remains on our strategic goals and priorities. And of course, there's some things that are, you know, year-long projects. Like for instance, we're rebuilding our website right now and implementing a new CRM. You know, that can be very much in a time frame that is measurable. So it ebbs and flows on amount of time, but we certainly do change the strategic goals and priorities each year based on what items are on that list.
That's interesting. You go into great depth within your strategic plan, and ours, we just did last year, very general, laying out workforce development, economic development, tourism, And so just very general, and then that opens that up to basically where I can come in and just say, okay, this flows into economic development. This is the workforce development initiative. It gives me the opportunity as organization president to come back to the board with the ideas of, let's change what we're doing as an organization based off the strategic plan and move into this, 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 and this, and then get the blessing from the board of directors. But from our board engagement side, it's more of me coming to the table with the ideas and then getting the blessing from the board. They're not involved in that down, you know, organizational level planning process. They're at that 30,000 foot. So that's either good or bad. I mean, it depends how you look at it.
I agree. It can be good and it can be bad. I mean, we can get into our marketing and PR goals as, you know, like closer to, you know, spending $1 per user on traffic. So, you know, it can get into that level of minutia, which can or cannot. I think right now for myself personally, becoming the director of both the chamber and Visit Cook County, it's really important to be able to define, you know, the responsibilities of each, because what I'm feeling in our area specifically, you know, we're small, and being a more visible leader, you get asked to jump into different arenas that probably you shouldn't be asked to jump into. So it's very important for me right now to stay in my lane, if you will, and make sure that I'm being strategic on my time, because I get asked to be in a lot of places, you know, like the Parks and Trails County Commission, and, you know, there are all kinds of places where they go, yeah, she can get it done. You know, this relates to tourism, or yep, this is a chamber related matter when it comes to workforce housing, or, you know, all kinds of different pieces and parts. So I think it was really easy being the director of the destination marketing organization, not easy, but a lot clearer. Mm-hmm. And now, because of our high prevalence of a tourism economy, it really gets blended pretty fast. So trying not to allow myself to get burnt out. And then, you know, you have the things like, you know, Ms. Hatmaker showing up in Cook County and blasting the PR world, you know, like crazy. So been pretty crazy summer.
I'm sure. Do you get into elections too? This is off topic chamber stuff. Do you get into election stuff up there too?
I haven't yet. And I really am trying to stay in a very bipartisan piece of that, you know, and that's, you know, I just had our director of policy and advocacy for the chamber, who was the past executive director of the chamber, resign. So, you know, we have a full-time lobbyist. So there's all kinds of, I'm putting together the jigsaw puzzle again.
Thanks, Linda.
You bet.
And Deb, speaking of committee meetings and everything, I have my executive committee meeting coming up. So I'm going to say goodbye to everyone and I hope you all have a wonderful weekend, and Deb will take over from here. But have a great weekend, everyone. Thank you so much for everything. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything additional on strategic plans? When we were kind of talking through the how often do you do it? Do you bring in, and Tim mentioned an outside facilitator like Bob, what's Bob's last name? Harris. Who brings in an outside facilitator?
We have before. The first time that we organized and hosted a board retreat, it was overnight at Gunflint Lodge. And it was really built on my past work with the Duluth Chamber of Commerce, where we did the same thing. And the board said, no, we want this to be, you know, a working board retreat. So now we just do it daily. That first one we did on an overnight, we did have facilitators. And I would say that that wasn't as well received. So now it really is, you know, getting the hands dirty and figuring out what we want our organization to focus on in the following year. And now it is, like I said, just the full day.
How about others? Do they do overnight retreats? Or just, I feel like the overnight retreat was kind of a thing of the past. Is that, am I sensing the same thing from the rest of you?
Yeah, I don't think we've ever done an overnight retreat with our board. I've only been here, well, so when Matt took over about 6-7 years ago, something like that, he actually changed the whole outline of when the board meets and everything, because it was only meeting quarterly, and he just didn't feel like things were getting done. So they do meet monthly now, and the board is quite, they're in the know from all aspects of what happens within our chamber, because we have so many different parts, because we've got our Cross Lake, we've got Pequot. The Welcome Center is separate from the administrative office. So there's a lot of different parts that our board gets updated on every single month. So they have found that monthly is a necessity. They only meet every 3 years for the strategic planning. And we do bring someone in for that who is local. And I do actually think he just retired. So I don't remember what his name is. He's been brought in for the board strategic planning, and he's been brought in for staff strategic planning. So we typically do our planning and then come up with the things that we want to focus on for the next 3 years. Or even 3 to 5 years. And then Matt takes that to the board, because we obviously know what we're doing more so than the board does. So when we're letting them know, hey, this is what we want to work on, help us narrow down where we should be locking in our goals. So that's kind of how we do ours, instead of having the board really make most of those decisions. We technically kind of make the decisions for them, and then we let them choose like what our top goals would be for the next 3 years, which, by the way, is usually in the top three is workforce. So
yeah, a hot topic for everyone.
Right.
Kay is saying that they do it about every 3 to 5 years, and they meet 2 or 3 times to finish the plan. So it sounds more like it's a continuous. Kay, if you want to unmute and clarify, it sounds like it's kind of a continuous plan versus one kind of an event.
Yeah, well, when we did it, we had an outside person from one of the banks that has a couple cities that they have a bank in, and she came, and then the board met at that time, and they were all giving what they felt should be in the plan. So then they kind of would go through that and then narrow it down and then meet again and see if there any changes. And then maybe the third time they decide, well, this is what's going to be the end result. And then we work from there.
Great. Thank you.
Does that make sense to you? I don't know. That's kind of what it was like. And in the chamber and the Welcome Center in the same building and shares the same board, but they're two entities. So that always makes it interesting. And then, so they do the chamber, and then they do the Welcome Center, and the back and forth, and that kind of thing. So,
got it.
Okay.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Other specific questions for the group about strategic planning, board retreats?
I guess my question is, we did just find a few more board members because we have some terming out. How do you guys do your terms? Do you do everyone's on either a 1, a 3, or a 5? How do you go about finding your board members? What kind of strategic plan do you have to find them?
I know a lot of organizations have rotating, so that if they have a 12-member board, 3 or 4 will rotate off each year, so that you never have a completely new board or a completely old board. So I know a lot of bylaws are written that way. Who uses a nominating committee? I'm seeing a lot of head shaking. Who just identifies the folks in the community that they would love to work with, and I ask them? That looks like the way to go about things. Do you have
We have a nominating committee, but it is basically just identifying people who want to do, might be good for it, and then moving it forward. But we do have the official nominating committee for that purpose.
Do you also have, do you identify kind of roles or specialties? Like, do you, for instance, do you have to make sure that you have a marketing mind or an accounting mind or an attorney on your board?
Yeah, we, so we have, I think it's 35, a 35 member board, and we definitely keep a close eye on, you know, we've got, we're losing someone who is really good at marketing. So let's, do we want to replace them with someone with marketing, or do we want to think about something else? Or we are heavy on hotels or light on hotels and trying to even that out. So we make a conscious effort to, yeah, get a good cross-section of folks.
Okay, Linda's saying her board is, I'm sorry, just a second. As Linda said, her board members are appointed by each tourism association. And then the number of people is delineated by the amount of lodging tax collected. She does make this very confusing. Yes. All right, who is that, Jean?
Yeah, I was just gonna add, our bylaws have, I think, four categories, industry categories, under which, you know, a certain number of board seats are allocated. So if somebody goes off who's in the lodging sector, then we have to replace them with someone in the lodging sector. I think the other categories are hospitality, and we define that as sort of the retail, attractions and dining, and then there's the at-large position. So those are the categories, and within each there's a range of seats that can be filled. So it might be from 3 to 5 people. We seem to always be on the high, take the high end, so our board is as full as it can be, but for that, for us, that is, I think, 17 members. And then we just sort of brainstorm who within that sector might be a good fit for us. We also have people who have served in the past. After 2 consecutive terms, they have to sit off for a year and then they can come back, and that's happened. We do not have attorney represented because the city attorney has always been available if we have things that come up that we need legal counsel for.
Anything else around board members? How about other questions? All right. So I think with that, we'll tie a nice bow on this topic. And I would encourage you, if you have topics that you like to discuss among this group, please bring those forward to me. We are happy to schedule those in. I think this is working fairly well to have some topics teed up that we can talk about so people can tune in if they're interested. So if you do have great topics or topics that are of interest to you, please send those my way. We will also use those suggestions as we begin to prepare for our annual meeting. So the education committee will start meeting next week to set the agenda. That is, our annual meeting is on October 4th and 5th, and we are at Madden's on Gull Lake. So thanks to Nicole and Mary, who will be hosting us up there this year. I want to say specifically, the room block closes fairly early at Madden's. It's only, the rate is available until August 9th. So we are going to work on the agenda. But if you can, if you know you want to attend the meeting, I encourage you to go out and reserve your room already, because that room block will expire by August 9th already.
Hey, Deb, could you sort of clarify with the room? Because it said, you know, with our package includes meals. So is there some that won't be part of the conference and then others that are y'all sort of still working on what that entails?
No, the room rate is the room rate. So that, I'm sorry about that. Hang on just a second.
Okay.
You want me to take it, Deb?
Yeah.
Okay. So yes, the room rate is the rate that you'll pay for the whole time that you're there. The only meal that is not included is the first night. So if you come Monday night, we are working on something to keep everybody busy, but that one, the first night, Monday night, if you come, that meal is not provided. Okay. I believe that is correct, Deb, right? Otherwise, everything else from breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Gotcha. Thanks for clarifying.
Okay. Thank you, Nicole. Sorry about that, friends. Apparently, somebody's trying to bust into my house here and the dogs are crazy about it.
Oh my.
All right. So so that clarified that question for you, Martin. Thank you so much, Nicole. All right. We want to say thank you to our sponsors, AAA and Media One. Thank you so much for sponsoring this. Don't forget to mark your calendars for our annual meeting, October 4th and 5th, and go on out and secure your room for that. I mentioned to send topics of interest, things that you want to hear. We did talk a little bit about the lodging tax for short-term rentals. I did get a note from Mary, who gave me a name, but if anybody else has a name on someone that you know of in that industry that could be an expert for us at the annual meeting, please let me know. We'll track them down and try and get them here. So with that, unless there's nothing else, we'll close this out and tell everyone to have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Hey, Jenny, do you need anything? All right. I'm going to take you out. Thanks. Thank you. Have a good day. There we go.
All right. Did you want to keep recording?
Oh.